All right, delighted to be joined by Thomas Granemark. For those who've been looking at Liverpool's throw-in technique, he is the person who's actually responsible for it this season. I'm also joined by Jonathan Higgins, who is, of course, our resident Liverpool supporter. Thomas, thanks for joining us. And maybe to start off, your own, I suppose, sporting career, it was bobsled and then athletics. So how did football and throw-ins then come into your own life and career?
Oh, I've been playing football myself for approximately 18 years as a as a kid and as a youth player, and I could make a very long throw in, and I could also run very fast. So in my early 20s, I changed sport to athletics, and the first year I was training, I was going on the Danish national team in 100, 200, 400 meters, and I had a pretty good athletics career. The best result was a couple of Danish championships, and also in 2000 we were winning the 4x400 meter European Championship for clubs in Paris. So I had a pretty successful athletics career, but in 2002, I hadn't been better, just been setting personal records on 100 and 200 meters, but I was moving to another part of the country, Denmark, and the western part, because I just met my wife, and I was, instead of training with a big group, I was training alone. So I thought, hey, I had to change sports, and I knew it had to be a team sport, because I loved that as a footballer too. I just knew that it shouldn't be a sport who was too violent or too risky or so. So because I've always been afraid of roller coasters as a kid, but I chose the bobsleigh sport, and that may sound a little bit strange because you're driving approximately 130 to 150 kilometers per hour, but I didn't puke or so when I was driving in the bobsleigh. So, but it was 100 times tougher than a roller coaster. So, but in the middle of this bobsleigh period in 2004, I thought, hey, if I can make a long throw in myself as a football player, can't I teach other football players to do it? Then I went down to my local library after a bobsleigh trip and tried to find that book about the long throw in, but there was no books at all, and I had to make a throw in course myself. So I used approximately 6 months to do that, and I thought I'd be happy if I could coach a youth team or a amateur team in the throw-ins, but I was so lucky to have a Danish Super League team as my first team. It's called the Viborg FF, the team, and they were very successful with the long throw-ins, and yeah, it was a success. And since then, I've been coaching a lot of teams, and in the start, first couple of years, it was only the long throw-ins, but now I'm focusing on the long, the fast, and the clever throw-ins. So it's exciting.
It's interesting though, because obviously there's a lot of attention on free kicks, corners, and everything else. The throw-ins happen about 40 to 50 times a game, which there should be a lot more importance placed on them. But it is a bit weird in football. It's something that happens so regularly, not so much thought has been given to it until now, and until you've kind of come along.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit crazy because, as you said, it's approximately 40 to 50 times in a match, and we have had several matches in Liverpool where we had, I can remember a match against Everton where there were 63 throw-ins. So it's not a thing that's happening a few times in a match. It happens a lot of times, and if I should compare Liverpool FC right now with the other teams, for example, if you compare the possession after throw-in under pressure while the players are marked, then we are bashing the other teams totally. And normally most teams have possession in under 50% of the occasions when they have a throw-in under pressure, normally in Liverpool we have between 75 and 100% possession when we have a throw-in under pressure. So I'm not counting all the easy throw-ins when there are no markings, but all the throw-ins when the players are under pressure, we have a very high margin of possession. Now, for example, when we met Bayern Munich in the Champions League, the first leg, Bayern Munich had only 28% possession. So that's the thing I'm working with in Liverpool FC. First of all, trying to keep possession, because if you have possession, you can score a goal, create chances, or have control. And if you lose the ball, you're often caught out of balance because you have a offensive mind or attacking mindset there. And if you lose the ball, then it's very dangerous. So a lot of people are thinking that, the throwing coach, when does Liverpool score from a long throw-in? But we're not really taking any long throw-ins in Liverpool, even though we have Joe Gomez with a world-class throw-in. But we have scored a lot of goals doing the things we're doing in training and so. It's keeping possession, creating chances and so. But there's just no one who sees it. And that's perfect, because then it's a little secret in Liverpool FC, and that's a big advantage for us. So. Yeah,
it's something you've clearly. I've spoke to you before off air as well. I can tell how passionate you are. I can tell how much pride it gives you when you ream off the Liverpool stats there. How they're able to improve their possession rates. Does it frustrate you then after, like, you've put almost your life into this? I think it's over 15 years, I believe. You have, you know, you went from going down to your local library, not being able to find any information on, to designing your own training plan, and then going on to implement that, various different styles in various different clubs and different leagues. Does it frustrate you then when you hear other people, maybe that we'd call them with the older mindset of the game, that may not be as acceptable or kind of maybe a little bit mocking? I know the big thing that came to life really was after your appointment at Liverpool was the Andy Gray stuff. I'm sure you've heard it a million times. We're pretty much mocking you in a way. Does that hurt after something you've spent so much of your time involving with, that people are a little bit more kind of negative towards it?
No, it doesn't hurt me at all, because I think when people are doing that, it's because of a lack of knowledge. It's because people don't know the numbers. People don't know how you can work with the players. A lot of people are just thinking, hey, we're just throwing it down the line. And a lot of coaches are saying, oh, it's better to lose the ball 30 meters down the pitch than 15 meters down the pitch. But why not think, hey, why not keep possession? Why not keep chances in another way? Create chances in another way. So I'm not offended by people who are negative about it. The only frustration I've been having in my throwing career is that the first 10, 12 years or so, people were only interested in the long throw-ins. I've been having a lot of success with the long throw-ins. For example, I had two clubs last year in Denmark scoring 10 goals each after the long throw-in, and then one of the clubs were FC Midtjylland, who were Danish champions, still coaching them this year. So of course, I can help a lot of clubs who are focusing on set pieces to score a lot of goals with the long throw-in. But for me, it's I think it's more enjoyable to look at these fast and clever throw-ins, because it fits to every club's playing style. So you don't have to have a team with big and tall guys. So that's I think the best thing about being in Liverpool. Of course, it's fantastic to coach a gigantic club like this and being a fan too. It's out of another world. But the best thing is perhaps that they can see how important all these throw-ins all over pitch are, so for me it's okay. I think that more and more people will just see the magic in the throw-ins, because it's a little defensive thinking to don't look at the throw-ins when there are so many.
The fast throw-in actually is something you kind of raised there, and as Jonathan would know, Liverpool's players aren't exactly the biggest physically, bar Van Dijk. So obviously the offside rule with a throw-in makes the fast throw-in makes it more relevant in a sense. So was that something Klopp was very keen to implement as well, given his style is actually counter-attacking and trying to use pace on the break with the likes of Mane, Salah and then Firmino?
Yeah, I think every coach should try to implement it. And of course, that was also one of the things Jurgen Klopp wanted to have in the game itself for Liverpool. But it's the fast counter attack throw-in is only a little part of the fast throw-ins. We have a lot of things not only with the counter attack but all around the pitch where we try to focus on the fast delivery. And it's not, you can't just only say that, oh, you have to throw it fast and you have more space, because if you throw it fast in the wrong circumstances or if there are created the real space and so, then it's not an advantage to throw fast. So we worked on all these fast throw-ins, but also the clever throw-ins, how when to throw fast, when to wait, how to create space, and how the different players on the pitch can move, so we can have an advantages of the throw-in, what we should do in different parts of the pitch. And so we've done it all, and I'll say that, of course, we've been starting, Liverpool have been starting from scratch when I started in mid-July, but right now I'll say that, we are on a very top level at the throw-ins, and it's also very important when you want to keep control of a match, because you can avoid all the dangerous chances from the opponents, at least by not losing a ball at a throw-in. So the throw-ins, it's not only about scoring goals and creating chances, but also keeping sure that you're holding the opponent tight against your body, so they can't really move.
Just looking back then, and when I'm just looking back to your appointment at Liverpool, and one of the things that kind of struck me really at the time was when Jurgen Klopp was describing the role. Like, he was very open. He said, "Look, I've never heard of the throw-in role." I believe he came across you in an article in Sportsbib in one of the German newspapers, and that led to your contact. Can you tell us how your move to Liverpool came about, really?
Yeah, it was. As I said before, I've been coaching several Danish professional clubs, also some smaller clubs from other countries. But yeah, there's just been an article in the German Bild, and I think it was in the end of June last year, and in the start of July, I was going on a trip with my family, my wife and my two kids, and we were visiting a chocolate shop, and I had my no voice on my telephone, and I just had to look at the telephone before we went in to buy some chocolate, and then I could see there was a plus 44 number who has been calling, and I just had to check it, because if you have a company like me, might as well be a guy who wants to sell some pens or something like that. So I just listening to the voicemail, and then it was Jurgen Klopp on the voicemail. I was totally in shock, because I didn't see it coming. So I tried to call him back again, but he didn't take the phone, because perhaps it was several minutes before he had made the call himself. So I just thought, hey, I just want to go home and try to make the call in more quiet surroundings. And so I was driving my car, and my wife was sitting beside me, the kids in the back. And then suddenly the phone rang, and my wife took the phone up, and she said, "It's Jürgen." And I just took the car and then drove into a grass field. It was totally secure. No one was in danger. And then I took the call with Jürgen Klopp in the middle of a grass field. So then he invited me to Melwood the week after, and it was only going to be a meeting, but he was so I won't say impressed, but he was so convinced about the things I said that I got the chance to coach 21 players from the Premier League team the day after. It was all the players who weren't on vacation or injured or so. And since then I've been coaching Liverpool approximately 1 week per month. And all the weeks I'm not in England, then I'm analyzing all the throw-ins we have in the game. And I've just been sitting with the throw-ins from the game against Huddersfield, and we had 100% possession in this game, so with the throw-ins under pressure. So I'm doing a lot of work with Liverpool, so it's not only when I'm in the club or on training camp, it's almost a daily part of my work life in Denmark too. So.
Yeah, and I noticed that even watching the FA Youth Final last week, Liverpool versus Man City, you could even notice, I think Reece Williams had kind of the longer throw, but you could definitely notice your methods kind of working the way down in the academy. Is that something that's involved with you with your role at Liverpool, not just the first team, to kind of work on the whole, like Jurgen kind of speaks with, now we have the academy move coming together where it's all one kind of style of football, and it's one football and language almost. Is that part of your work as well, just working away from the first team as well?
Yeah, it is. I'll say that I haven't been working so much with the academy as I've been doing with the Premier League team, because it had to be when it's fit in. And so, but I've been working with the U23s and U18s, and we've been working with the same philosophy. So so for me, it's a kind of philosophy. It's a part of the game. Like you can have tiki taka, and you can have a counter attack game, or you can have some kind of game. Then it's the same with the throw-ins. It's a philosophy. It's not a lot of people think it's about, okay, you also do some systems and so on, and of course you can do a lot of agreements and so on the team and do some certain things, and we also do, but it's a lot about the philosophy. Like you have a philosophy in basketball, you have a philosophy in any other sports where you are, some things are integrated. So that's what I'm trying to do in Liverpool, and I think it's worked very fine, and even much better than I thought it could be before all this. So.
Yeah, I suppose a final point before we let you go. So you have the world record for the longest throw-in, so 51 metres, 33. It was a front flip. People can check it out on your YouTube channel if they want to see it.
Yeah.
But there's a player you worked with previously in Denmark. It's Danish international, Andreas Poulsen. Your work with his throw-in, it improved from 25 metres up to 37.9. So in terms of what you do individually with a person, in terms of body technique and everything, in his case, for example, what did you work on with him to try and improve that side of his game?
Yeah, and to be precise, because what you're saying with the 25, I've been saying some medias, but it's actually from 24.25 to 37.9, so it's almost 14 meters. So, but what I've done with him, like I do with every other player, also all the players from Liverpool, is I'm using, if you're looking at the long throw-in, I'm using video analysis. I'm looking at between 25, 30 different technical parameters, and then I'm seeing how can this specific player improve. Of course, there are some general things for all players, but then I'm looking at the video analysis, and most players are improving between 5 and 10 meters, and some even up to 15 meters. And a lot of perhaps coaches out there or players out there who are playing with a more fast playing style like Liverpool, or a bit more tiki-taka like City or Barcelona, they think, oh, why should we even have a long throw-in when we're not doing long throw-ins towards the goals? But that's because the longer throw-in you have, the greater throw-in area you also have. And one of the easiest ways to get possession from the opponent is to make a throw-in under pressure. And for example, if you take this Andreas Poulsen, if you look at the half circle he had when he made his 24.25 meters, then it was 923 square meters. But if you look at the half circle of the 37.90 meters, then it's 2256 meters. So he improved his throwing error by more than double, 2.2 times. So, and if you're only looking at the length of the throw and the area of the throw, then it's a big advantage to throw longer, because you can throw to more teammates. And of course, you have all the other things with precision and the feeling of the throw and how to create space and so on and so on. So I like to say that even though you're a fullback or a coach who are not making the long throw-ins towards the opponent's goal, then it's very important that you throw your fullbacks can throw as long as possible. They don't necessarily have to be the world best, but as long as possible, that's very important.
Yeah, and of course, these are all the kind of marginal gains that are pushing Liverpool to the brink of a title. I guess, Thomas, thanks a million for taking the time to chat to us, and hopefully, well, I don't hope, but Jonathan certainly hopes, you don't just get the 97 points, but that you do finish ahead of Manchester City. But best of luck with that, and anyway, best of luck with the work you're doing as well, because it seems to be definitely having an effect.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.